Ketchikan,
Kotzebue,
Dillingham,
Sitka,
Chugiak,
Fairbanks,
Fort Yukon,
Wrangell,
Barrow,
Unalaska, Dutch Harbor,
Alaknarechamute.
This is AK on Alaska News Nightly. I'm Rachel Waldholtz. This week on AK, the goose. The Grumman Goose seaplane has served the Aleutian region for the better half of a century, shuttling residents from remote islands to Dutch Harbor. But once the new Accutan Airport is complete later this summer, water landings in the Bering Sea will be a thing of the past. KUCB's Alexandra Gutierrez has this goodbye to the goose.
I'll give you guys a briefing real quick. Everybody has to wear the seatbelts. These two doors in the back are exits.
Burke Meese has probably given this speech 1,000 times. He's a pilot for Pen Air, and today he's taking me and six others up in the Grumman Goose for a flight seeing tour of Unalaska. If all goes as planned with the construction of the Accutan Airport, this will be one of his last trips on the Goose. But it's my first, and I feel like a big, excited kid when I settle into the co-pilot's chair.
Okay, y'all buckled in there?
I am.
Burke revs up the twin engines, and the hula girl on the dashboard begins to wobble. The plane lurches forward along the runway, crosses a major city road, and suddenly we're not in the air, but in the water. There are no skis, so the deep fuselage is slicing through the bay. We take off from there. Burke tells me after the flight that some passengers are surprised when the plane hits the waves.
It used to happen just kind of on a regular basis, usually like a state bureaucrat from Fairbanks or something going to the villages, and they walk across the ramp and get in the airplane and it flies for a little while, and then next thing you know, the airplane is slamming into these big waves and got spray past the windows and water washing up over the bow, and I can always tell that person because I hear him screaming in the back.
Usually they're no worse for wear.
I always say they're a better person for the experience. They go home with being a better person for that.
Burke enjoys initiating people into the ways of the goose. For example, he lets me know that the plane's plural is actually gooses.
I'm not sure why that's the term, but you'll identify yourself as an amateur if you use the word geese.
He also teaches me about the goose's rich history. Burke says the plane was first built in the 1930s to be used as a civilian aircraft.
Its original intent was to fly people from Long Island to Manhattan, to fly businessmen.
The gooses were supposed to be luxury planes, with wet bars and the modern indulgence of a toilet. But World War II got in the way of that. Because the planes were so good at handling water and land, the Navy and Coast Guard started using them for military transport. So did Britain's Royal Air Force. By the time the war was over, about 345 gooses had been built. The planes went on to be flown commercially in British Columbia, California, and the Caribbean. They were also used across Alaska by passenger airlines, remote hunting lodges, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service staff.
You'd still make people nervous by flying over them, and those are airplanes.
The Goose has a lot of local history, too, Burke says. Couples have gotten married on it. Singer Jimmy Buffett once came up to fly it, and Santa Claus uses it each Christmas to deliver gifts to the children in the villages.
I used to say that Santa Claus, while he flies his own sled around, he prefers to have the professionals take him around in the Aleutians.
Now there are only about 30 gooses left that are airworthy, with many of them in private ownership. Once Pen Air retires its two planes, there won't be any passenger airlines offering scheduled goose service in the United States. Over a phone call, Pen Air President Danny Siebert tells me that he already put one up for sale, and that I can have it for $350,000. But on a reporter's salary, it's not in my budget. It seems like a museum should buy it, or some deep-pocketed aviation enthusiast who can baby it. After all, it's easy to fall in love with. Burke says that like most old planes, it's got plenty of personality.
It's a tough and graceful airplane.
Would you be friends with the goose if it were a human in real life?
I already am friends with the goose.
And Burke's friends are friends with the goose, too. One night this winter, he and an Alaska resident, Sharon O'Malley, were mourning the impending loss of the goose and decided that, like most great things, it deserves a song. And so they wrote one. In the ballad, Sharon sings that the goose may cost too much to run these days and that it will soon be a relic of a day gone by. But when it goes, it will be bittersweet. In Unalaska, I'm Alexander Gutierrez.
She was part of the landscape here, and she did her job year after year. Time has come, the end is near. The goose, she is a jewel in the sky. 'Cause those places and the others wouldn't dare to try. But soon should be a relic of a day gone by.
You can hear the full version of Sharon O'Malley's song and watch video of the goose at alaskapublic.org. Now it's time for 300 Villages. This week, we're heading to another island community, Petersburg in southeast Alaska.